Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. They're the exclusive distributor of MasterMeter AMI-AMR technology. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. This is the fifth of a five-episode series featuring small towns in the state of Louisiana. This series is sponsored by the Louisiana Municipal Association, and as we've done for each episode so far, we'll start things off by talking with John Gallagher, the executive director of the LMA, and we'll learn a little bit about the region of the state and the specific small town that we'll be visiting on this episode. All right, John, so I'm going to what I hear is called Senla, Central Louisiana. I'm going to the town of Winnsboro, which is kind of in the northeast corner of Senla. So tell me about that region and about Winnsboro.
It's a community. It's known, and you may have, if you went in through town, it's the Stars and Stripe capital of Louisiana, because almost the whole length of the downtown area is lined with American flags. So it really is quite the spectacle, and it's year-round. It's not just 4th of July or Memorial Day. So it's something that they're very proud of. It's also in Franklin Parish, and it's home to the Catfish Festival. Winnsboro is very agricultural, a lot of cotton. I think you'll see some corn. It's very, very, very agricultural, and it's got a good economy in that area, and I think it's really kind of the economic engine for that part of Central Louisiana.
All right. Well, I can't wait to go check it out and go to Winnsboro. So, small towners, today we visit a small town in the central part of Louisiana that is known as the Stars and Stripes capital of Louisiana. And we visit with a Main Street manager and a mayor who both have a story of revitalization to tell. We're going to go talk with Kayla France Knight and Mayor John Dumas in the small town of Winnsboro, Louisiana. Come go with me.
Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia.
Sponsored by Koch Industries. Just like the great small towns we feature on Small Town Podcast, every great company has a story. From its humble beginnings starting out in Middle America in the 1960s, Koch Industries has become one of the largest privately held companies in the nation and has achieved an international presence in 50 countries around the globe. The companies of Koch Industries create innovations in transportation, medical care, water filtration, building materials, household goods, and so many other products and technologies that impact our lives every day. You can see more of the Koch story, both where they've come from and where they're going, by visiting kochind.com/podcast. All right, I'm now in the town of Winnsboro, Louisiana. I'm in on the second floor of a historic post office, and I'm joined now by Miss Kay LaFrance Knight. She is the Main Street Manager of Winnsboro and also the director of the Post Office Museum, which we're sitting in. So, Kayla France Knight, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
It's our pleasure. We're thrilled to have you here.
And actually, before I even get into kind of my interview, my first normal question, would you tell us a little bit about the building we're sitting in? Because it was a very nice site. Obviously, it's had some restoration. There was a museum I walked through downstairs to get up here to this nice room. So just give us a little bit of the history of the building we're sitting
Absolutely.
In and its role in Winnsboro.
This is called, now today, it's known as the Old Post Office Museum. It was built in 1936 as the post office in downtown Winnsboro. And when the post office made the decision around 2000 to move the building and build a new post office on our main highway, Highway 15, this building was basically vacated. But it's just like all of the old post offices that were built in the WPA era, mm-hmm. was built like Fort Knox.
Yep.
And
built to last.
Just, yes, absolutely built to last, and is a wonderful old example of the way things were during the WPA era. And the last thing in the world that this community wanted to happen was to lose this building.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't exactly know how it was going to happen, but just knew that it had to. And fortunately, we had the community leadership at the time who agreed to take charge and purchase the building from the postal officials. And it sat here vacant for many, many years until we could get the funds, and we had a lot of state funding mm-hmm. that really, really helped. We were part of a capital outlay project that helped to put the building back together again. It was in excellent shape because, well, because, as I said, the excellent bones, you know, and it had a good roof, and we had to take off about four different layers of linoleum tile on the floors, take away all the old commercial, industrial, greenish color paint that when it was a post office. And when they did, Matt, they got down to the original cypress that was used to build this building, the cypress and the bricks. When we saw the original wood, we said, oh my goodness, let's not paint it. Let's keep it just the way it is.
Yeah.
So much of what you see downstairs and upstairs as well is the way it looked way back when.
Yeah, more original.
Yes. And when they got and scraped away the four sheets of linoleum that were on the floor, they got down to the original Michigan maple on the floors. Wow. And a lot of there's a little crawl space where you can get underneath the building. Personally, I haven't been, but our city crew who always helps us out.
I'm sure
so
they'd
much.
Let you go down there if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah, if I wanted to. However, you can actually see stamped on the bottom of the wood, Winnsboro, Louisiana, 1936. So it was shipped down from Michigan maple in 1936 when it was built.
Specifically made for this
location. Yes, specifically made for this building. So it's really, really special, and we're so very proud of it. And we showcase the history of Winnsboro and Franklin Parish and on the outer perimeters of the building. But the inside gallery, which was at one time where all the post office people worked and, you know, and sold stamps and mailed packages and what have you, that's a gallery that is now a gallery. Mm-hmm. And we have five or six alternating exhibits a year of mainly Louisiana artists. We have some regional artists, a lot from Texas, from Mississippi, from all around. But we have had some wonderful, wonderful quality exhibits here. And they stay for about 6 weeks. People from all over come to see what exhibits that we have. We've had a Smithsonian traveling exhibit here. We just had a World War II exhibit, Louisiana in World War II, The Pelican State Goes to War, that we borrowed from the World War II Museum in New Orleans. And we've just had all kinds of, as I say, really quality exhibits, and that's one thing that we try to stress with our exhibits,
sure
is quality. Exactly.
Yep. Let me ask this, and we strayed a little bit from my normal formula, but I'd mm-hmm. like to give people this description of where I'm sitting when it's a building of such significance like this one is. If you don't know the exact date, that won't be a problem. But from what was the time frame from when you got the city to buy the building
from the post office, from the federal post office, and the time you were able to start. And so there was kind of a gap where it sat here. Because obviously it's something, it's a great gem right now, I can tell.
Right. I believe that it was purchased. Now, I'm not sure about the exact date, but it was around 2000, okay. I believe. And it sat here until 2010. Mm-hmm. And we moved in 2010, had our first exhibit, and it's been nonstop ever since then. And if it's all right, I must tell you that part of the reason that it works as well as it does is that it's not only the old post office museum, but it also houses the office of Winsboro Main Street, the Chamber of Commerce, and Franklin Parish Tourism.
Yeah.
So it's a community effort and a wonderful partnership. You know, and we share in the good, the bad, and the ugly. When we have problems, we all chip in and take care of those problems. We all help pay the utilities.
Yep.
And the city, it's owned by the city. The city owns the building. Mm-hmm. But we have a lease, you know, with an option after 25 years to continue that lease. And it's much the same with our Princess Theater that we'll talk about as well.
I asked that question about that time gap to make the point, because it sounded like there was a little time in between. Unless small towns in Louisiana are completely different than small towns in Georgia, and I'm thinking they're not so different.
Not really.
Then I'm willing to bet there were some folks after 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, they were thinking, oh, that was a mistake. We never should have done that.
Someone
maybe have suggested, oh, you should have let them tear that down. And so I make the point to say it requires perseverance. It requires a lot of patience sometimes. And somebody, and you actually commented generally the leadership of the town, had the vision to know this is a value. It's worth fighting for. It's worth making some sacrifices. And it might be a little time before we can do what we want to do, but it's so worth the effort.
Absolutely,
and
it is.
Now, I doubt anyone would say in retrospect now that it's the house for the office house, I guess, for those organizations and for the museum and the artwork that you bring in. Nobody now would say, we should have just let them tear it down. But then there was probably a struggle. So I just wanted to make that point.
Well, yes.
That was such a good example.
We're very, very proud to have. We are an extraordinary community of visionaries and have some wonderful leadership here. And it would never have happened without those visionaries and without that leadership. We have people who come in now and just marvel, A, yes, that it was not torn down, and B, that the city allowed it to sit here for a while and to be patient long enough for really good things to happen. It does take time.
It does. It does. We were talking earlier before we set up the microphones and the recording equipment about some cities, some small towns in Georgia that everyone holds up as the gold standard, but they say, we were a 20 or 30 year overnight success. It takes a long time to have something to show for it and to build traction sometimes, but it's so worth it. So thanks for that. Was quite a detour from my normal start to interview, but it was so good. And like I said, I just like to give people a little background.
Kind of went into it in a backwards kind of way, and that's okay.
Like I said, when we talked about this, conversations don't have specific starts and stops and middles and everything. It's just natural. And so that's why I like to run the conversations on the podcast. But let me go back to the beginning and talk. I doubt you would title yourself this, but it's clear to me through conversations with you and some of the others in Winsboro, you have been a part of that vision and that leadership over the years. So I kind of want to let me go back to the beginning and ask my normal first question. Were you born in Winsboro, Louisiana?
I was born right across the street from the old post office museum in what used to be the old Rogers Clinic. I always tell people we need to put one of those plaques up back in blank, blank, blank. I won't say what year. A historic thing happened and Kayla France Knight was born. But I do have to tell you that I moved away. My dad was in the Air Force.
Okay.
But my grandparents had a farm in nearby Gilbert, Louisiana, which is about 12 miles from here.
Okay, close by.
I've come full circle after these many years.
Yeah.
I'm back here now, and this is home. I think it's where my heart has always been. I was an Air Force brat, as I told you. We were actually stationed in Hawaii for 3 years. When I was in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, we were stationed in Hawaii. And you're going to love this. The whole time we were there, all I wanted to do was come back home to Gilbert and Winsboro. This, to me, was paradise.
Yeah.
So to be able to come back home and to do what I love to do, the work that I love to do is such a blessing.
So just to kind of follow your story, obviously you went to several different places. Where did you graduate high school?
I graduated from high school in Bourne, Massachusetts.
Okay.
In Cape Cod, right at the mouth of the
Cape. Way far away from Hawaii.
Way far away.
You overshot paradise here in Winsboro.
Exactly, exactly. But I spent 6 weeks in the third grade here, six mm-hmm. weeks in the sixth grade, and 6 weeks in the 10th grade.
Because your grandparents were still here.
Because my grandparents were here, and this was always home.
Yeah.
You know?
So after graduation in Massachusetts, where did you go from there?
I ended up at LSU.
Okay.
Because that's where my daddy was an LSU Tiger, and nothing else would do.
So you came back close to home.
I came back close to home, and I spent a year at LSU, my freshman year there. Mm-hmm. But I still wanted to be closer.
Yeah.
So I transferred to what is now ULM, Northeast University of Louisiana in Monroe.
Yeah.
That's where I graduated from college. But again, it was about 40 miles away.
Right, close.
And
close to,
so
close to paradise.
This is where my heart's always been. Exactly.
What did you get a degree in, and what did you do after
I majored in speech and communications and minored in English.
Okay.
And worked at KNOE-TV for a while and WBRZ in Baton Rouge for a while.
Okay.
Worked at the Monroe News Star. Started off while I was in college working at a radio station. So
a microphone in front of your face is
Okay. Sort of something I'm used to, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I have a face for radio.
No, that's not true. So in communications and media in the industry, but always stayed in Louisiana and moved around to different places. So you've already referred to, I came back home. So at what point did you come back to Winsboro?
I came back to Winsboro to live in Gilbert and work in Winsboro in 2003. So I've been here about 16 years.
Okay.
I have, however, been a Main Street manager for about 26 years. Prior to my coming back home here to Franklin mm-hmm. Parish, I was in Columbia, Louisiana, in neighboring Caldwell Parish. And I started off as Main Street manager there in 1993 and sort of cut my teeth on Main Street and bringing old communities back to life,
yeah.
trying to help other communities revive their heartbeat, if
right.
you will, about 26 years ago.
Now, what led you to get into Main Street manager roles from communications?
That's, a dear that's a friend of mine, and we were in communications together. He owned a radio station in Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived nearby and had sort of retired. I was running a bed and breakfast and was very active in the tourism industry at the time,
mm-hmm.
not professionally, but volunteering. And my friend Tom Gay called me one day and he said, "What are you doing with your life these days?" And I said, "Well, I'm raising my daughter and keeping home and hearth together. Why do you ask?" And he said, "Well, come help us put this town back together, if you will." And I said, "What in the world are you talking about?" And the rest is history. He said, "Come see me," and went down to Columbia and visited with him and started with an old museum there, well, an old building there called the Shepis Building.
Mm-hmm.
And we turned it into a museum and gallery, and it's just been nonstop ever since then. And next to raising my daughter, probably the most gratifying thing I've ever done.
Well, just the revitalization and that having to have the patience and the perseverance, like we talked about with this specific building we're sitting in, you having to do that over and over and over again to see the fruits of that labor, both in specific projects, but also in the resurgence. In some cases, the very survival of a small town
right.
is certainly got to be fulfilling. So,
and again, I have to stress that it would never happen if the community didn't believe in themselves and if they didn't make it happen.
It is necessary. I think I've heard people say that a community needs to have a champion, and I kind of think of that as the catalyst for things. But if the community doesn't rally around those efforts, then just the one person by themselves obviously is just not going to be able to really rehabilitate and revitalize a downtown or economic development, a city overall.
Yeah, exactly. So. I'm sure that you know, in this case, that champion that our community leaders back in 1989 sort of took hold of
yeah.
was the Louisiana Main Street program.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are the ones who stressed the historic preservation of their historic downtown district and kept it and kept the integrity and the original character. Mm-hmm. We have all of the fast food on the highway, and you know, and we're happy and thrilled to have them.
Yep.
But our downtown
is sales tax dollars too.
Yes, absolutely. But our downtown is totally unique, just as yours is. Mm-hmm. It's our thumbprint. It's our heartbeat.
Yeah.
And it's so important to keep that going.
I think you said, but tell me again, the year you became the Main Street Manager for Winnsboro.
2003.
So let's talk about some of, obviously we're sitting in one, we talked about the post office project already, but what are some of the other projects and some of the other efforts that you've at least been a part of? I know you, I can tell you're humble by just my conversation with you, so you're not going to take as much credit as you probably deserve.
Oh, but absolutely.
You've been an important part of a team that has done some great things here.
Well, one of the things that I am most proud of is the fact that our historic downtown district is actually a little arts district, a small, okay, albeit small. But we are anchored on one end, yes, by the old post office museum, but go down to the other end of our historic district and guess what's there? Our wonderful Princess Theater, which was an old vaudeville theater that so many small town communities had back in the day.
Yeah.
And we have revived and restored ours. It happened just a little bit before I came back home. But we have live performances, we have movies, we have receptions there. There's actually what we call the Princess Room, which was an old five and dime store at, mm-hmm, one time, and is right next door to the Princess Theater. We're able to have receptions there as well as here in the museum. So it's all about a community space. So we have two very important community spaces that are both pointed directly toward the arts.
Well, and you said now both of those, because the way you just described it, are we on one end of that historic district and the Princess Theater is on the other end? So it's kind of like the perfect bookends?
Well, partially, okay, absolutely, partially. Our historic district, one of the things that we did when I first got here was to expand those limits,
oh, okay,
of the historic district. As you know, all about tax credits and historic tax credits and that kind of thing.
I'm finding out more every day.
Yes, yes. It's very important to know all of that. And we absolutely have a lot more historic fabric, if you will, than just the space between the Princess and the old post office,
right,
museum. So we expanded those boundaries. A lot of students from the LSU School of Architecture came and did a charrette, sort of, and, mm-hmm, and sort of gave us some possibilities and things that we could do, and gave us a larger vision of things that we could take hold of, things that would be to our advantage in our historic downtown district. And one of those was to expand the boundaries and the limits. So more people are able to take advantage,
right,
of,
yeah,
those tax credits now. We're very, very proud to be one of the, I won't say original, because I believe that the Main Street program started in Louisiana, I want to say in 1987, and we became a Main Street in Winnsboro in 1989. And you become sort of what they call a graduate or a veteran community, mm-hmm, after 5 years. And the real test of becoming a success in that program is what you manage to do after you, quote unquote, roll off or become a graduate community. If your citizens are proud enough of what you've done in the last 5 years that there's no way in the world you're going to let it go,
right,
you find a way to keep it going.
Yeah.
And this community absolutely has. We have memberships through donations. Our city is our biggest donor to keep the program going. Our tourism commission, our wonderful catfish festival that we have annually, our banks, a lot of different people support us and see that we are able to continue year to year.
Let me ask you, because I feel like you mentioned the Princess Theater twice now in this conversation, so let me go back and ask some details about that project. How, maybe run down how much was required to put into that building. You gave us a great description of the post office project, so feel free to give us
quite
the
bit
details.
From,
I
as I say, I was not a part of the original restoration of that building,
mm-hmm,
but it was pretty much shuttered. It was,
yeah,
boarded up, if you will, but there are so many memories there,
yeah,
that once again, we have a community that just refused to say no, and they brought her back.
Was that maybe longer than the post office sat for 10 years before you were able to move in? Is that something that even took even
longer?
Do you
know,
I
don't know.
Oh,
I don't know what the length of time was, mm-hmm, that it was not active. I want to say probably around 20 years, but okay. Don't hold me to
no,
that.
No, that's fine. It's just another example of so worthwhile, but you know,
yes. Kind of oh, absolutely. And, but you have to have the tenacity right. and you have to have the vision most of all. Yep. You know, you have to have the people who say it can happen and it will happen because mm-hmm. we're going to see to it that it does.
Yeah.
And then they go about the business of making it happen.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, you mentioned a catfish festival. Tell me more details about that.
What, oh, our what wonderful catfish festival.
What time
festival.
Of year is that? And what
that
goes
is
on?
Usually the first or second weekend in April, depending on when Easter falls. We mm-hmm. can, you know, we don't want to be the same weekend as, right, as right. Easter. But it is the, are you ready for the trumpets to go? We are the, yes, we are the largest one-day festival in Louisiana.
Oh, wow.
So we're a community of right at 5,000 people, and that one-day festival manages to bring in anywhere from 15 to 18,000 people in one day.
So if you wanted to go to a bigger festival, you have to have it for 2 days.
Yes, and people ask
us. You can't pack
us,
any more into yeah, one day. In
people ask our tiny
festival.
Little committee, you know, well, why don't you do it the whole weekend? And we always go, you're welcome to. You
yes.
want to do the second
yes.
day?
I was going to say, you should tell them, well, we're the one-day committee. You be the second-day committee.
You got it. Exactly.
Well, that's fun.
So, but it's great. We bring in some wonderful entertainment, really some name brand entertainment, if mm-hmm. you will, and our historic downtown district is gated off. Mm-hmm. We managed to have enough fencing that we gated off, and it's, I think, $5 a day for all day long, and the okay. best of entertainment and vendors and crafts and everything that you can imagine of a good festival in Louisiana. So we pass a good time with three stages and good food and good fun, and we always manage to have a jam-up exhibit here in the museum at that time, yeah. and we open it up, and it's just everything that you imagine a good Louisiana festival to be.
You have a lot of catfish art?
We did it one time. Our very first, funny you should ask, our very first exhibit when we opened up the museum and we had the festival was Gone Fishing. It was called Gone Fishing. And it was one of our most successful because we had people bring in pictures of their catch, you know, the one that got okay. away and yep. that kind yep. of thing. And then we had some really beautiful aquatic art, if you will, okay. and fountains and that kind of thing. But, yeah, we try to make it thematic, if you will.
Well, that sounds like a fun time. Not like you got enough going on in the museum and a theater, and once a year you have a big block off the entire historic district.
Right, right. It's definitely one of our highlights,
yeah.
for sure.
One thing I've learned in preparing for this interview is that you are apparently known as the Stars and Stripes capital of Louisiana here.
Oh, my goodness. If you've not been to Winnsboro on a patriotic holiday, you should definitely put it on your bucket list.
Okay.
Because there is a flag for every one of our soldiers from Franklin Parish all along the highway. So for about, 3 or 4 miles, you see just a solid
wow.
row of flags. I believe I heard someone say at one time it's 400 flags from one end of town to the next. And it's very impressive. It's quite beautiful. And the centerpiece is a huge, huge flag that we call the big flag. Everybody yeah. gather at the big flag. You know, that's where during Christmas, and we have our Christmas parade, and that's where the first lights are turned on at Christmas time and that kind of thing. And I'd like to, if it's all right with you, I'd like to go back to the Catfish Festival just a bit. One of the reasons that it was started was, of course, to bring visitors into right. Franklin Parish and
tourism,
to show off
sure.
what we have, tourism, mm-hmm. yes. But we've also managed to help build some of the wonderful parks that we have here.
Okay.
We contribute a lot to our annual scholarship banquet that our Chamber of Commerce hosts. We have a Farmers Appreciation Banquet. We do a lot for the community.
So that $5 that people pay to get in is a fundraiser for
exactly.
a lot of
Exactly. Exactly. It okay. goes right back
Great.
Into the community. We've managed to have a good return on our investment for our Catfish Festival every year.
If you can have everyone have a good time and give a little money to raise for good causes, that's a pretty good
It's a win-win.
So,
you can't
yeah.
miss.
Awesome. Well, you've certainly accomplished a lot, or I know as you would say, the community's accomplished a lot, but you happen to be here in this very important role while they did. What's next? What's in store for Winnsboro? Obviously, it sounds like you've built festivals, you've had projects that have been great community assets, but I just don't see you as a person that says, okay, we're good enough now. So what's next for you and Winnsboro?
Well, we, of course, the possibilities are endless. We have several buildings downtown that we would love to see occupied. We'd like to have more businesses. We'd like to have more retail. One of the things that I personally would really love to see is residential downtown, and we certainly have the possibility for that. We have an old hotel downtown that's three, it's our tallest building. It's three stories.
Yes.
And, you know, there are possibilities for apartments, and I think that there's a need for it. I really do. Not just in the old hotel, but we have some other buildings as well that would work beautifully as upstairs residential and downtown retail. So that's something that we're always trying to do.
Walkable communities.
Walkable, thank you very much.
Next,
spoken like a great mayor. Well, walkable communities. That's what it's all about.
If that's all I had to do to be a great mayor, I should have learned the phrase walkable communities a lot.
Livable, walkable communities. Yeah. It's a great thing. I enjoy, you know, if you're going to talk about walkable communities, I love being able to spread the word among my merchants and be able to just walk out the front door of the museum and take all my information with me and just sit and visit with my merchants. It's a great thing, and it's not something that you can do in every city,
right.
Certainly, you know. But we just, I am very proud to say that Winnsboro Main Street has a very active, relatively new economic development committee that is going to be addressing some things that have to do with quality of life in our wonderful city. They're going to be addressing health care and education and just business and some of the things that we sort of take for granted. We have a wonderful hospital. We have a fine education system. We're always looking to make things better. We have a really very nice community college that just relocated from older facilities near downtown to brand new, fresh, new facilities about 3 years ago, and a fabulous walking trail that I'm going to tour you on later this afternoon that we are looking forward to expanding from the walking trail, which is several blocks away from downtown. We'd like to expand it to come to downtown and then expand it from downtown to our community college. So that's one of the most exciting things. Personally, just connect us all together and make us walkable.
Yeah.
So even more walkable than we already are. So I think we have a really bright future ahead of us, and I'm looking forward to being a part of it.
Well, as we close up this interview, I want to give you the same opportunity. You've kind of done this all along our conversation, but I want to give you a chance to speak directly to our audience and tell them why they should come visit or maybe even move to Winnsboro, Louisiana.
If you haven't been to the Stars and Stripes capital of Louisiana, you should make your way, not yesterday, but today, in the next hour, and see who we are and what we are and why we are, which consists of just a wonderful, artistic, unique community. We're doing our very best, and I think quite successfully, to keep our heartbeat going, to keep our community alive. We would love for you to come and be a part of that vital, vital thing to do for any community, but especially this one.
Well, Kayla Franz Knight, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
For the last time in this series, we talk with Karen White, Executive Counsel at the LMA. In our final chat, I wanted to get her thoughts on what she hoped this series would accomplish for small towns in her state.
Karen, I've gotten to know you a little bit through our interaction. You've been the LMA point of contact on the podcast project, as I've started calling it. Just really appreciate getting to know you and what you do for LMA. And just, I guess, kind of want to get your senses. What did you hope to achieve? I hope I've helped in doing it. But what is it you hope to achieve through the podcast series that LMA sponsored for Small Town Podcast?
First of all, it's been my sincere pleasure dealing with you. You've been an amazing professional, so thank you for all the skills that you've brought to the table here. You know, it really is to me about advocating for Louisiana, not just in terms of, you know, economic capabilities or geography, but Louisiana is unlike any other state. There is such a depth of diversity within this state, everything from, you know, bilinguality down on the coast to country music hubs in Northwest Louisiana and such a rich agricultural heritage as well. So I'm hoping that your listeners over the series of podcasts can appreciate the flavor of Louisiana. We now have a couple of state songs, but the first one and the longest standing is You Are My Sunshine. It's an old classic country music song that Jimmy Davis, our former governor.
I was going to say, it was written by a former governor,
yeah,
wasn't it?
he co-wrote the song, and so it became his political anthem. But there is such a wealth of diversity here that everybody who sings that song sings it with a little different tune. So if you listen to somebody from Sarepta sing it, it's going to sound very different from what Jean Lafitte sounds like. And it really is reflective of the joy that we have for living, for caring for one another, safeguarding our communities. So I'm hoping that positivity springs forward from the podcast.
Well, Karen, thanks for what you do for all of Louisiana cities, but especially the small towns.
Thank you, Mayor Matt.
Small Town Podcast is supported by the Southern Mercantile. Visit southernmercantile.com for a blog about small town living and an online store with a selection of carefully curated goods. The Southern Mercantile. Simple living, Southern charm.
All right, I'm in the same room, in the same old post office and museum in the city of Winnsboro, Louisiana, but now I'm joined by the mayor of Winnsboro, Mayor John Dumas. Mayor Dumas, thanks for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you, Mayor. Welcome to Winnsboro.
Thank you, thank you. This has been nice. I enjoyed my conversation. I won't ask you the history of this building since we got that from Kay. So I'll go straight into talking about you and your life. So were you born in Winnsboro, Louisiana?
Well, actually, I was not born in Winnsboro. I was born in one of the parishes locally.
Okay.
Down at in Catahoula Parish. I once lived there with some of my relatives for just a little while. Matter of fact, about 3 days.
3 days here?
Yeah, well, 3 days there. And then, of course, I was, my grandparents actually brought me to Winnsboro, and I've been here ever since.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So you didn't last long down in that other parish.
No, they didn't really want, they didn't want a good mayor.
So grew up most of your life here in Winnsboro.
I grew up all of my life here.
Except for 3 days.
Except for about 3 days. And in the process, of course, my grandparents raised me, John Frank Dumas, mm-hmm. and Francis Dumas.
Okay.
They have a unique story as far as their lifestyle and what they did and how they accomplished to be citizens here in Winnsboro.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me a little bit about that and what life was like growing up in Winnsboro for you.
Well,
you stayed here all the way through graduated high school here.
Graduation, right? Okay. High school. So that's exactly right.
What was life in Winnsboro like?
Well, my grandfather, of course, let's start with him, Frank Dumas, who was actually a grave digger. He would dig graves for the local funeral homes in this area. It actually paid about $12.50 per grave. Usually he averaged about two graves per day. And so you can imagine that roughly around $25 a day is what he made.
Yeah.
And my grandmother, of course, was a short order cook here at one of the local cafes. And between the two of them, they gave they gave me all that I needed and plus some. Of course, you can imagine how things were at that particular time as far as funds were concerned and being able to make sure that all the bills were paid.
Yeah.
But they did, and they managed to do so.
Yeah.
During my tenure, I guess, or time of living with them, of course, they saw to me having whatever I needed, going to school, paying for my lunches and taking care of me. And usually on a Saturday evening or whatever the case might be, we had to go do a little shopping. That is when I didn't have to pump water in order to do the washing, on a Saturday. That was the chores. On one of those Saturdays out of the month, we would actually come to town. And everybody would visit and kind of mingle and socialize. And I began to look at the buildings and see some of the very same buildings downtown that are there now. I always remembered that as I walked into those buildings and was shopping with my grandmother, that maybe one day I would be able to be the mayor here in Winsboro.
So it was a childhood dream.
It's been a childhood dream.
Well, that's fantastic. You realize that. That's a great story.
And it has materialized, yes.
Well, tell me what you did upon high school graduation here. What was next for you?
After graduating from high school, of course, I didn't go to college the first year. I decided that I'd stay and help my grandparents because they had helped me so much.
Yeah.
And they were getting old, very old, in their 80s, and it was time for somebody to kind of step up and be with them. All of their children, of course, had actually, were grown and had moved away. So I was a younger one, and I wanted to stay around mom and dad, and that's what I called them. I actually went to work at one of the local supply stores here in Westboro, Gwen's Building Supply, and that's another story, and I'll have to tell you about that.
Okay.
But while being there and working at Gwen Building Supply, Mr. W.O. Gwen, Wilson Gwen, the owner of the supply store, he kind of took, a liking to me. And
took
and
a shine.
That's right. Yeah. And he gave me some things, that pointers and so forth, that he thought I needed for the future. And one of those was to continue my education. So he, one Saturday, as we were working overtime, he called me in and he set me down and he said, I got something for you. And it was an envelope and he handed it to me. And in that envelope was $200. He said, I want you to go to college.
Okay.
Don't stop here. Don't let this be all. I said, well, I want to help my grandparents. He said, you can help them by doing this. Go to school and get an education. You need it. And it's going to be needed in the future. So in the process, I went back home and I told my grandparents and my granddaddy, he said, well, he believed in working. He had a third grade education. And my grandmother, of course, had an eighth grade education. And she said, you know, that's right. He's right. You do. You need to go to college. You don't need to stay here with us. We've got our living made, so to speak. And that's what she said. They had a nice garden and all this kind of, these kind of things. So they didn't want much and didn't ask for much, but it was just one of those things where you could see that they were satisfied with the life that they had and the lifestyle that they had. And growing older, as they did, they were kind of laid back and they could see that time was winding down for them. So in the meantime, they wanted me to be able to go on and to move forward. One of the things that I must say, because of my grandfather's, even though that third grade education awarded him much respect in the town of Winsboro. We came to town one Saturday morning, my grandmother and I, and she was shopping for some, just doing some usual shopping and first one thing and the other. And we had taken a taxi from the west side of town to Winsboro, to downtown Winsboro. And in the process of doing so, she had actually bought more than she wanted to. So she had a number of bags and all this kind of stuff, and we were waggling and trying to get back. She decided that she would go to another taxi, because the one that she had called had not arrived, and she'd go to another taxi up on the hill. It was up on the railroad track, being at that particular time. We had railroad and had train coming through Winsboro. And in doing so, she stepped into what was called the 44s. That was the number for the taxi service, 4444. And in doing that, she asked them to give her a ride. Well, the individual said, we're busy. We don't have time. Besides, I don't know you. I'm not going to consider taking you. I'm not going to take you to town. And that was the one that was actually standing in the doorway. But there was one individual that was there that was on the telephone, and he overheard the conversation. And then he said, who are you, ma'am? And she said, my name is Francis Dumas. And he looked at her and he said, are you related to Frank Dumas? And she said, yes. And she said, okay, but we'd like to have a ride to the west side of town. And he said, hold on just a moment. So he got off the telephone at that particular time, and then he began to take the bags and put them in the car. And as he did that, he told the gentleman that was standing at the door, to take care of things until he got back. He said, we'll see to you getting home. So when he got to our house and everything, and he unloaded the packages and put them on the porch, he said, my grandmother began to go in her purse, and she was looking for, I think it was 25 cents, I think it was at that particular time. And he said, no, don't worry about it. He said, we'll see Frank. We know that Frank will take care of it. And it was at that time that I learned that a good name can carry you a long way. I've always cherished it, and to be good and to do good, even for this town and for the community and for the people. Because if you serve people and serve them right, they'll serve you. And that's been my legacy for a long time. I hate to sound like this, but
no,
nevertheless, it's these memories and these things that have come to mind and have always been a part of my life and the way that I think and the things that I do for the people here in Winsboro. And I still believe that 25 cents is carrying us, that is my family and the city of Winsboro, a long way.
That's a valuable lesson.
And it's in that, and from that, then I went on to college, of course.
Yeah, where'd you go?
I went to Southern University.
Okay.
And while being at Southern University, I was an ag student, and I went into agriculture. I'm sorry, but I was in horticulture. And also working with the horticulturist and the individual there, I decided to even to move it up and went into ag economics. From that, after graduating in 1980, moved to Dallas. Of course, my grandfather had passed on, but my grandmother was still in Winsboro. And I went on to Dallas in with Farmers Home Administration, who had I had selected to go with that time as a loan officer. But I felt like I was too far away because I was trying to drive back, on the weekends, and see about her.
It's a bit of a drive.
It got a little monotonous. So I decided to apply for a position here, in Franklin Parish, and I got one. And shortly after that, moved to Lake Providence, where I worked in that office for a while. And from there, moved to St. Joseph, where I became the loan officer for that particular office. Finally, after several years or more, 14 years, as a matter of fact, I cut ties with the federal government and went with the Louisiana Department of Agriculture, where I was able to move and to live at home.
Okay.
And I worked with them for over 20 years and retired. But prior to that time and during the time that I was at home, I decided that I looked at what was going on as far as how we were being represented. And when I say we, I'm talking about the community, not necessarily anything else, but looking at the community and what we, the representation that was being done at that time by the council person. He had been elected to be our council person for at least 4 years, and he had only attended, out of the 48 months of service that he was supposed to render, he had only attended eight meetings, and I didn't think that was fair representation for our people, so I ran for council, and I won.
Let me ask this: was there? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you just answered a normal question I ask of elected officials. What was it that encouraged you or motivated you to run for office? And it was, and I assume there's districts. You have at-large council members here.
Mm-hmm. We do, districts. And we have district council. Mm-hmm.
So you, the members of that district,
right,
were not being represented.
That's right.
Well, so mm-hmm. beyond that, were there some specific things you wanted to see done that representation was going to be required, or was it just the representation as a principle?
Well, the representation as a principle, but also the educational fortitude of the individuals that were being selected to be put into certain positions, even mm-hmm. in the community on the west side. And on the east side, and of course, even for the town, mm-hmm. because we could see, I could see, and I felt that even with my education that I had received in the agriculture department and working with other people, that we needed a vast spectrum of folks being able to understand what to do and how to do it, and the education that they needed in order to do it. So education also became a very integral part in making a decision.
Well, it sounds like you're saying education and maybe, I'll add, experience
in
different areas.
Exactly.
If everyone's got the same degree and they're all very focused on this one aspect, well, then that means there's other aspects of local government that are being left alone.
Left alone. So in the process of doing that, then we saw that, but I came in with a more of a, I guess you could say, of a radical type attitude, on the council.
And what year was that you were first elected to the council?
I knew you would ask that. That was in 2000.
Okay.
That was actually in 2000.
2000
yes.
took office mm-hmm. in early 2001.
In early 2000. Well, right. Yes. Uh-huh. And in doing so, I met got to know the mayor of the town, and of course, at that particular time, Mr. Jack Hammonds. And as I began to emphasize my knowledge and what all I knew and what I was trying to do and how bold I was and how I was going to change the world, I got called over by an 83-year-old woman and told to sit down. Let me talk to you. And she began to tell me that the ideas and the way you're going about things is not going to work. You're going to have to listen at people. You're going to have to understand what it means to hear both sides of the story. And remember that you're not the only one that has a voice. Other folks has one too. They have one too. Therefore, in doing so, she put something on my mind, so to speak. And this was that 83-year-old woman was my grandmother mm-hmm. at that time. And she said, you're going to have to understand this. Now, when you go back to do your job as a council person, listen to everybody and try to give them an opportunity to express themselves and understand where they're coming from.
Now, how many members of the council are there in Winsboro?
Well, five.
Five and a mayor.
Yes, and on the council.
I guess what were some of the things that you thought, well, we're not doing this right, or we need to do more of this when you came on?
Well, naturally, you always see, first of all, you know, being a younger fellow at that time, you thought recreation was the key to everything. So you wanted to make sure that we got our fair share of the recreation.
Right.
We wanted to make sure that the money was distributed in a proper manner and that, you know, ditches that didn't have covers in them were placed, you know, they had covers and things of that nature. One of the biggest problems at that particular time, as far as covers were concerned, was the encephalitis, you know, the carrying of the disease by mosquitoes. Mm. So we wanted to cover those ditches and put in chemicals in order to kill those mosquitoes and protect the people on the west side, because we felt like those on the east side already had, they didn't have as many open ditches as it were on the west side. So, you know, I just said it's time for, you know, us to get our fair share and all of that kind of good stuff.
Now, let me ask you this. You've said west side and east side a couple times in this conversation.
That's right.
Would there happen to be some racial divides between the west side and east side?
That's exactly right. I didn't say it, but I did.
No, that's
now
okay.
that you asked, and it was.
I don't generally ask. I could just tell that's
kind of
what you're
doing. Well, again, and that was the case. But that wasn't, you know, and so being that you were schooled that we were missing out on something, you know.
Sure.
But in the process of doing so, and trying to make these crucial decisions and move the world into the right direction all along, mm-hmm. I was taken into the room of the mayor, and he set me down and began to talk to me. And he showed me what exactly we needed to do as a council, as a body of people that would help the city and the community. Therefore, in doing so, I began to look at things differently. Listen, of course, remembering what that little old lady said when she said that you don't know everything, you're going to have to listen to what's being said by others in order to help people. And if you really want to be a servant, then you're going to have to listen. And that's the same thing that Jack was telling me. Mm-hmm. Jack came from a long line of successes as an entrepreneur. But at the same time, even as a mayor, he was one of the best mayors. Don't get me wrong. He followed those that came behind him, that were before him, were good too. And so he was able to build Winnsboro in the right direction and was doing so. And he didn't want to tear that down. And he didn't want me tearing it down. And he didn't want me coming in and tearing up a council or trying to tear up a council, all because I wanted to get a playground for a few kids.
Yeah.
You know. But instead, he wanted to see the whole thing, you know, develop in the city of Winnsboro.
There's a balancing act.
There's a balancing act.
Yeah.
And so I learned a lot. And then after that, he took me under his wing. He began to give me instructions. He showed me a lot of things that I needed to know, how I needed to approach these things. And he was a very fair person.
Mm-hmm.
And one afternoon, while traveling from the Monroe area, we were coming home, and I got a telephone call. And that call came from a friend of mine, Mr. Paul Price. And Paul had called me, had been trying to get in touch with me. My wife and I had been shopping. And he said, I want you to come by the office for just a few minutes. And I did. I ran by his office before I went home. And that's when he gave me some news that was some of the strongest news that I'd ever heard or had in my life. He told me that the mayor was sick, and he told me that the mayor probably wouldn't be with us long.
Oh, goodness.
That hurt me, because he had asked me if I was considering running for mayor this next time around. I said, no, I want you to run again so I can really learn and kind of cap off what you, you know,
become
what you've
been a mentor,
doing.
It sounds
That's
like.
Exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And
took,
he had.
Took in the office that day, and after
That's
that,
right.
you started listening to him and gaining from his wisdom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was soon after that the mayor passed away. Mm. Well, the council themselves, the individual that was the mayor pro tem at the particular time would have followed and would have taken over. But for some reason, he was working out of town and he couldn't be here to actually manage the city. And we were just about at a loss of having leadership other than the council. Well, in doing so, we had to pick someone from the council. At that particular time in 2010, March of 2010, somebody had to take over. The council asked, would I do it? I said, well, I don't know, because I wanted to give this individual who was the mayor pro tem all of the opportunity in the world to fulfill his duties.
Right.
He wanted it, but he couldn't take it at that particular time.
Now, it sounds like your mayor, the role in Winnsboro, is very actively involved in day-to-day city operations.
Right.
So there's no city manager, city administrator for Winnsboro. And I'm not sure. I'm still learning how the charters that's work exactly, in Louisiana, different than Georgia.
And that's exactly what we were looking at. When you needed someone to be there day-to-day, mm-hmm. and in case the clerk, who was a city clerk at that time, needed some help or needed some decision-making processes had to be done and signatures had to be done on that day, then there was a reason to call. I was there, and I didn't mind doing it, but at the same time, I said, okay. So it had to go before the vote in the council. Mm-hmm. We wasn't together in that meeting 5 minutes before it was a unanimous decision that I would be taking over that spot.
So you became the interim mayor.
So I became the interim mayor in 2010.
Filled the shoes of a man who had mentored you.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And we tried to carry it out the same way that we thought he would have. And at the end of 2010, when I handed over the gavel to the next mayor, we were in good shape.
Now, I can't help but ask, since the previous mayor, mm-hmm. Before passing away, had asked you if you would be interested in running for mayor.
Yes.
Which you wanted to decline because of him.
Right.
But after he passed, what kept you from running for that spot? I assume there was a special election, maybe?
Right. Okay. There was a special election, but they continued the election and so forth, and I had actually decided to continue, you know, in the seat of as a council, mm-hmm. and I just ran for council again.
Okay.
And I won. And 4 years, I spent on the council once again trying to make sure that we were doing the right things and doing it according to the way we wanted to see it continue
in
the city of Winnsboro continue.
But at that time, you didn't feel like your role was the mayor.
That's right.
Was it another member of council that became the next mayor?
No, it was not. It was somebody else, and they came. They ran, and they won, you know, that position. Then I decided that we weren't headed in the right direction because I was still sitting on the council, and I could see things were dwindling down, and we were going in a far outside of what we had been accustomed to and how mm-hmm. we had been managing. I decided to run against the individual who was, of course, at that time, was the mayor.
Yeah, he was incumbent.
He was incumbent, and I lost.
And what year was that then?
That year was in 14.
Okay.
Yeah, that was in 14.
Now, what? Because I kind of want to capture the, I like to ask questions mm-hmm, about motivation. You felt like you were on a good track. Mm-hmm. So what were some of the areas you thought maybe got a little off course and that you wanted to bring back in? And why did you need to be the mayor to do that in your estimation at that time?
Well, first of all, for instance, the city of Winnsboro was actually being maintained at a good and had a good par with 55 employees. Mm-hmm. This new mayor came in and we ended up having well over 80 employees. There was no assistant mayor or anybody that was standing in, let's just say, as his assistant, but he hired someone for an assistant. There was extra spending and money being utilized for things that we had never seen or heard of before.
And I just didn't see enough benefit from that.
Exactly right. Yeah. Nor did we see the city moving in the right direction. It had become to where it was at a standstill. Mm-hmm. And even at that, it was actually starting to back up. And it was things were really, really getting bad as far as our financial conditions were concerned. And finally, in the essence, we saw no progress of possible considering, you know, revenue sources and things of this nature. Our infrastructure was falling apart. And there were a number of things that we had, even our educational system, where we helped by just giving inspirational speeches and talks and things. Now, Mayor Jack Hammers wasn't one to give a lot of talk. He'd do a lot of talking. He was more action than he was talk. But he didn't mind giving individuals, allowing you the opportunity to tell what was happening and what was going on by way of the council and the city and what he wanted us to do. So he allowed the councilmen to be able to speak to their districts and to work with them, but he always gave you information that you needed. Mm-hmm. But he showed you through his contact with the governor and with others. He also helped to train and untrain others that were in the area, mayors that were in the area, and to assist them. Many meetings that he set in at their meetings and helped them to make decisions. The mayor in Monroe, Mayor Mayo, and some of the others, the Mayor Lewis and some others that he actually worked with hand in hand in order to help them develop certain programs and policies that, mm-hmm. that carried them forward. So he was very influential, but he was kind of a man behind the scenes.
Right.
And but he spoke volumes, and he carried out things. Yeah.
His influence didn't require as many words.
No, it didn't. And that, yeah.
So going back to your story, now you ran in 14 and were defeated.
Right.
So
and was defeated.
And then decided to run again in 18 and give it another try.
Yeah, I decided after.
And since I announced you as the mayor, obviously that one turned out better.
That turned out better. As a matter of fact, there were five of us that were running.
Oh, wow.
And at that particular time, and I was able to get the majority vote even at that first primary.
Oh, so with five people, including yourself.
Including myself.
You got enough to not need a runoff.
Did not need a runoff. Well,
that speaks.
You know. And that showed me.
So I knew I had, you had from the community right
that,
there.
That's right. And yeah. I knew I had a job to do because I couldn't let the people down. Now, naturally, as being mayor, you know, there are some decisions and policies that you make that are not always acceptable by everyone. But nevertheless, I think that we've seen. But when we decided to take over in this, in 18, and we did, and we took the oath of office, we found that it was much worse than what we had anticipated. Mm. And in doing so, we had to really put our heads together and call on people in the community, folks like the person you just interviewed a minute ago, and others that came to our aid and our beckoning call, and individuals that could sit down and talk to us and give us some more direction. It cost us quite a bit of money, you know, to try and straighten out where we were. We were looking at a physical administrator about to take over this city, and there was no need, there was no reason for a physical administrator to take over the city of Winnsboro that was flourishing, you know, in 2010, and now 8 years later, it's at the bottom. We could not let that happen, and we wouldn't, and we vowed not to do so. And I think even as we go now, we're not out of the woods yet, but we're still fighting, and we're clawing, and we're going to get out of those woods, and we're going to see the brighter day. It's kind of like Noah when he walked out on the bow of the ark, and all of a sudden he looks up and he sees the rainbow. We know that we can see the sun peeping through the clouds because it's going to be a brighter day.
Well, let me give you an opportunity because I'm glad because a lot of these interviews, I want to highlight a town. And we got to hear a lot of the great things going on from talking with Kay just earlier today. The festival, the revitalization efforts, the projects with historic preservation. So obviously there's some very good things going on in Winnsboro. But you're not afraid to say, hey, we got some problems too, and some of them are pretty severe. And that's the plight of small towns everywhere.
Exactly.
And you know, and I don't know the details of what's going on, so I can't really speak to it. But it sounds like there might have been a little overspending, maybe questionable management. Whatever it is, it puts you in the situation you're in now. So let me give you an opportunity to kind of speak to the future. Do you already have some steps in place? You're trying to avoid being taken over by another administrator. And so far you have. Mm-hmm. And you've called in people that you trust, that you know more about things in certain areas than you do. So that speaks volumes about your willingness to say, I don't know, I don't have all the answers, but I know who might. What does the next 5 years for Winnsboro look like? What are you going to have to do to make this a success story? Because I feel like just the, I guess I'll call it the vibe from my conversations when I walked in this room and it was more than just you and Kay. There's a very positive attitude. So to hear that that's going on underneath everything is a little surprising. And I thank you for your honesty. So the drive and the perseverance that's been displayed in some of these other projects, it's here in the community.
Right.
And obviously they support you to vote for you over other people and not even need a runoff.
That's true.
But I said a lot of words there, what does the next 5 years look like? What are you going to have to do? And why is it that Winnsboro is not going to be taken over by an administrator and it's going to be a success story?
The reason is, I guess you could say we're going to concentrate and stay in the limelight of doing what we're supposed to do as mayor. I'm going to constantly look back and understand and realize that the goals that we had set forth when we announced our candidacy, you know, although we haven't been able to even ascertain or to get to those yet because we're trying to clean up where someone else has messed up, you know, we're going to finish doing the sweeping and the fixing. One of the things that I did when I gave a speech was show an old rusty wrench. And that wrench was the kind that could be adjusted. And sometimes we have to make adjustments, and these adjustments have to be made. But we have to make them as a mayor. And I have to make them. I can't make them as an investigator. I can't go in and try to find out what the problems did or what problems they may have had. I've got to continue on and look forward by making adjustments to carry Winnsboro into the future.
Yeah.
And those adjustments would be financially. Those adjustments would be infrastructure. Those adjustments would be with businesses coming in. And we've got to straighten up our educational system and help it so that people will want to come to Winnsboro. And we're going to attract folks just like and compete with people like Monroe and Ravel and the I-20 corridor. Even though Winnsboro is sitting in a bowl, so to speak, we're between, you know, I-20 and, should I say, 61 going to Baton Rouge and other places. But because of the type of people we have here, we can make this new administration and the individuals that you saw here today that you met, as far as the economic foundation and what they're doing and how they're going to be looking at things in the future, those are by taking on these individuals and person and people like them, then we're going to be able to look in the future and be able to do the things that need to be done. Sure, we still got some roads and items of that nature that needs to be fixed. Folks don't realize that we've been operating the city of Winnsboro on pumps and lift stations that were gone out, but you haven't heard a single word because the individuals that are working for Winnsboro and working in these capacities are dedicated to doing and getting Winnsboro back on its feet. While folks are sleeping in their beds, and as the old song it goes, they're nesting in their beds, so to speak, there are folks working night and day to make sure that Winnsboro is sustained by the things that need to be done. And we're going to get better. We're going to replace those pumps. We're going to replace those broken items. So but we're going to have to do it a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And for the next 5 years or 4 years or whatever the case may be, we're going to utilize our financial strength and whatever funds that we have that's available in order to make Winnsboro stand tall just like it did before. And whatever that takes, to give you examples, so in some cases it may be unforeseen occurrences that might come up. We don't know, but we're not going to fall.
Yeah.
We're going to get up because we don't need to stay down, and we're not going to. So to actually give you some of the pointers of what we want to do, sure, we're going to be surrounding ourselves with people that's going to make the future of Winnsboro stronger and better.
Let me ask you just one final question about this. Mm-hmm. And again, appreciate you being willing to talk about something that's not so sunny and rosy.
Right.
If you could give advice to other small towns, Louisiana, Georgia, we got Alabama, Mississippi between the two, mm-hmm. and in rural areas of states all over the United States, I think this story, unfortunately, is probably more common than we would like it to
right.
be. What would you say either to a mayor of a small town, which you're talking to right now, or to the audience of citizens that love their small town and want to make sure they avoid some of those kinds of things? What could have been done differently or maybe red flags that should have been seen in Winnsboro's story to try to kind of help another small town not go through what you're now going through?
Well, naturally, it all depends on the situation in which those towns are in and where they are at this particular time.
Sure.
But the key thing is don't look back. Don't look back. You've got to put your hands to the plow, so to speak, and look forward. And you've got to have an idea that what you're gonna have to get with those individuals that are in the town and find those people that want to press forward. Because you're going to have to keep your eyes on that prize. And that prize is an everyday that when you get up and walk to the office that you can share, you can wave at these people and they come to you with a smile on their face. And even when they come to ask questions, make sure that every question is answered. It may not be the one that they want to hear, but make sure that it's answered. There's so much that you have to do in so many ways. If it's a financial, you know, predicament, work your way out of it. Start from the bottom, you know, and work up. Every town is not as financially blessed as the city of Winnsboro has been. But at the same time, we weren't so overly blessed that we didn't find ourselves sitting and looking at the legislative auditors and others trying to make decisions. And in some cases, them saying, okay, if you don't make a move, if you don't do it this time, then we're going to have to send somebody else in to take over. Mm-hmm. But if somebody else can do it, if somebody else can mess it up, there's somebody in your town, I guarantee you can straighten it up. And all you got to do is depend on, let those folks do what they need to do. And make sure you pick good, sound personnel to work with.
Yeah.
Folks that the people want to see, want to work with, want to don't just go putting in people that because they're akin to you or because they're relatives or friends or whatever the case may be. No, you're going to have to pick folks that know how to work and know how to do the job. And that's what we've been trying to do. So as we continue to try to strive to make progress, those are the things that we're going to be looking for. And those are that's the advice that I give to all small towns and all small mayors. Make good choices. Make your best better.
Well, Mayor, as we kind of wrap things up, there's so many good things. I want to make sure we end on a good note. So in light of the short-term challenges that you're going through, I want to give you the opportunity to speak directly to our audience and tell them why they should come visit, or maybe they should come move to Winnsboro, Louisiana.
Well, Winnsboro is a place where everybody just about knows everybody. And they don't mind associating and working with everybody. Make yourselves friendly. If you want to be friends, you want to have friends, then you be friendly. Now, don't get me wrong. We have our problems. We have our things that are going on right now, but we're trying to make changes. But let those changes be positive changes, changes that will give you an outlook for the future. And always keep your eyes on the prize once again. And that prize is your children and your grandchildren. But also make it comfortable for those that have retired here, that gave you the beginning and helped you to understand that this is a place where we can all enjoy. We can live, we can play, and we can worship together. And that's what I want to see, and that's what we're going to do.
Mayor Dumas, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you.
Well, small towners, just like in my last episode where I interviewed two different people, I've saved both of their Get to Know You questions segments for the end. Let's get to know these local leaders in Winnsboro.
All right, I've got some get to know you questions, just four questions to help our audience really get to know you. And I bet some people that think they know you may get to know you better by the answers to these. So first question, do you now or have you ever had a nickname? Yep, that means it's a yes. I love it when I ask that question and I get laughter.
Well, not many people know. Katie did.
Katie did. Okay, how did that come about?
My grandparents used to call me Katie Did. Okay. Katie Did do this. Katie Did do that. So Katie Did.
Was that just grandma, grandpa? Did that catch on throughout at least more family?
I think it kind of caught on over the years, but I haven't been called Katie Did in a long time. I haven't thought of it in a long time.
These were the grandparents that lived here. You had the farmhouse. And you came to visit for several weeks, and I think you said second or third grade, and then every other summer. So.
Right.
So was that something maybe you were known as here just as a little girl?
No, I think people just knew me as Ada and EK's granddaughter.
Okay, well, now they're going to know you as Katie Did.
Katie Did.
I hope that catches back on here.
Thanks for the memory. I hadn't thought of that in years.
All right, next question. What would be your go-to karaoke song? Let's say you had to sing a karaoke song or sing song karaoke to defend the honor of Winnsboro. So what would your go-to song be? Doesn't have to be related to Winnsboro. Some people try to make it match up with the town. Can be any song. You got the words right in front of you. Yep, I see you thinking about this. What song would you do for karaoke?
New York, New York is already taken.
Start spreading the news.
No, that's already taken.
You can keep that. That's fine. Who took that? Did you hear somebody else say that?
Well, I tell you what. Start spreading the news, okay?
All right. New York, New York. Sinatra style. Okay. Next question. This one's easier. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
Tomato sandwich.
A tomato sandwich.
A tomato sandwich.
A tomato sandwich.
Tomato.
I didn't say it right.
Tomato
sandwich.
On white bread with mayonnaise.
Just some mayonnaise, sliced tomatoes, white bread.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the first time we've had that answer. We've had some repeat answers. But, all right. Final question. This is my favorite one, I think. Although the laugh I got when I asked you if you had a nickname was priceless. If you could attend any concert, any singer, any group, any performer of any kind, dead or alive, whose concert would you want to see?
Oh, there are so many. Probably Judy Garland.
Judy Garland. All right. It was nice getting to know you.
Thank you. Nice getting to know you, too.
All right, Mayor Dumas, this is the get-to-know-you question section. So I've got four questions that will help us get to know you a little better. And people that think they know you, maybe they'll learn something new. So first question, do you now have or have you ever had a nickname?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, my nickname is included in my signature. And believe it or not, it's Sonny.
Sonny.
Yeah, John C., Sonny Dumas, and that's one of the reasons I'm so bright in looking at things and making decisions, because we want to keep them sunny.
Now, other than, now you spell sunny when you do S-U-N-N-Y?
S-O-N-N-Y.
S-O-N-N-Y. So where, where did that come from? Well, you just said the bright thing. I said maybe you want to keep it bright and sunny.
It actually came from my grandparents. That was their nickname that they gave me, but my relatives gave it to me because I was a little, I had a few freckles and all this kind of good stuff and some kind of reddish hair and all that. So they just started calling me Sonny, and it stuck, and it's been sticking with me for a number of years.
And you still sign like that sometimes.
That's exactly right.
Sonny, I'll see you on the street. Sure, Sonny!
Yeah, that's it. And I'll say, huh?
All right, next question. What would be your go-to karaoke song? Say you had to sing a karaoke song to defend the honor of Winnsboro. What would your go-to karaoke song be?
Well, I don't know about the honor of Winnsboro, but I'll say some of the activities that's going on that we usually like to do here around Winnsboro. And it would probably be something like the song that Andy Griffin used to sing, I guess.
What song did Andy Griffin sing? I know the tune to the Andy Griffith Show, but which song?
You get a line, I get a pole. We'll go fishing.
All right,
At the old
Hotel Crawdad Hole. Want to see if I get you to sing your line.
That's right.
Good. Next question. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
Catfish. Fried catfish.
Well, that makes sense. Aren't you the home of the Catfish Festival?
Exactly.
Not just the Catfish Festival, the Fried Catfish.
The Fried Catfish.
Sorry,
yes.
It's not just the Catfish Festival. Festival.
I guarantee you'll like it.
Okay. we actually have a catfish house in Osceola.
Okay.
So we've got a little bit there, too. It's delicious.
Now, well, good.
We'll have a fried catfish contest, maybe. We'll coordinate that. All right, final question. So if you could attend any concert of any singer, group, band, any kind of performer, whether they are dead or alive, what concert would you want to attend?
Boy, that would really be something.
Yeah.
But I guess if I had to go with one, I'd go with one from my old childhood days. I say childhood days. It hadn't been so long that he's passed away. That would be Lou Rawls.
Lou Rawls.
I used to love to hear him sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lou Rawls in concert.
In concert.
All
yes,
right.
sir.
Thanks for letting me get to know you.
Thanks for being here.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode and this season of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Kay LaFrance Knight and Mayor John Dumas for talking with me. After the interviews, I got a chance to walk around downtown Winnsboro with Kay. You can catch pictures and our conversations on social media and on our website, smalltownpodcast.com. Thanks again to John Gallagher, Karen White, and the Louisiana Municipal Association for sponsoring this series on small towns in Louisiana. As always, we thank our season sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, Koch Industries, and the Southern Mercantile for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. As this is our final episode of the season, I want to say thanks so much to everyone for listening and supporting, and I look forward to visiting some new small towns and sharing them with you next year in Season 3. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Urbanomics production that tells the stories of America's great small towns. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there, and sometimes exploring issues that affect small towns everywhere. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonant Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can hang out with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the towns we visit by stopping by our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We love to show you all the small towners out there, some great images from the small towns we visit, and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in and the places you hear about on our podcast. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you real soon.
We stand adjourned.